And Father, we're grateful tonight for the ministry of your word and the ministry of your spirit. We ask that in our heart there's light. There will start clarity to do, to learn, to do your will. We ask tonight that through your word, we'll be much more better as wisdom is granted. Hearts are filled with wisdom. Minds are filled with direction, clarity, and searching your plans and purposes even for our relationships. We ask tonight that just as there's no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. With every man together as a church, we're made to see Jesus. And as we see him, we see ourselves as the Caesars in him, built up together in the world, stirred up, knitted up, with faith in our hearts, the strength of will, the power to do, minister, alongside with the hearing of your word. We ask this, receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Matthew 28. Amen. And then we have an exhortation from Matthew 28 to make disciples, which has to do with men seeing life and living the way God sees and the way God has ordained it. Hallelujah. So in Matthew 18, we have an admonition on walking in love, resolving relationships. Resolving relationships. Amen. You know, if you look at the Matthew 18 text well, you know, the Matthew 18 text well, you will observe that in 18 there, it says in verse 17, it says, if you shall neglect to hear them, it says to tell it to the church. And then it says, if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as an hidden man, a publican. And that shows you that there are different ways to treat different relationships. You know, you can't treat everyone the same way. You know, we usually say that God is not a respecter of persons. Many times, that statement itself is taken away from the context of the conversation. And you can make a statement to mean anything if you remove it from its settings. Are we together? You know, God is not a respecter of persons. That statement is valid within what the writers are talking about. The context is salvation. Salvation. You know, the context is salvation. That if God has set up a principle for salvation, which is faith in the gospel, no matter who you are, you have to believe. And when that statement was made also, not only was it made in the setting of salvation, the statement was made with respect to the Jew. You know, so the fact that the gospel had come from the Jewish lineage does not exempt the Jew from also having to believe, just like the Gentile will. Are we together? God is not a respecter of persons. Did you get it? All right. That is the Jew, obviously, through whose lineage the Jesus had come, the Jew will also have to approach the gospel the same way the non-Jews will have to. You know, the Jews does not have the Gentiles rather, don't put it that way. Don't put it that way. So, but the Jews, we have to believe just like the Gentiles. So God is not a respecter of persons with respect to how men get saved. You know, but definitely when it comes to relationships, God responds to man many times. You know, how much you receive of God is also a function of your posture and your desire toward him. Hallelujah. So right there, again, you see in 18 there, he says in 17 rather, he says, if he neglect to hear the church, he says, let him be to thee as a hidden man, that is, you know, a publican. The word there equates the two statements. The hidden, I mean the publican. Hallelujah. And that shows you that, you know, before you were told to treat someone as a heathen and as a publican, which I might mention what that implies shortly, before you were told to treat somebody as a heathen and as a publican, you know, that is an outsider. Now, what is it about an outsider? You don't hate an outsider. You don't hate on an outsider. You know, we had said that if someone had done something against you, it is you go to him, right? Try to reconcile it, isn't it? Then it is the person doesn't listen to you. Then it is okay. You inform one or two people who are able to restore the relationship. You know, and then he says no. In other words, the person is a disagreeable person. Then he says, tell to the church. Then he says, if he doesn't hear the church, then he says that, you know, you treat him as a heathen. You know, and that would imply that you had gone through several processes before treating the person as a heathen according to the text. Are we there? You've gone through several processes. So that already shows you. By saying that, treat the person as a publican, let him be unto you as a publican or as a heathen. By saying that, you already implies that there's a way you handle your relationship with the publican. You get it? And there's a way you handle your relationship with who? With who? With the brother in church. Now, someone who will qualify to be referred to as a publican will be an unbeliever today. Someone who does not believe the gospel. Someone who is not born again. So, it shows you that the way you handle your interactions with people who are born again is quite different from the way you handle your interactions with people who are what? Who are what? Born again. For him to say, you go through this process and that process and that process, and then you now get to treat the person as someone who is not born again. Did you get it? For him to say, you treat the person, you handle the relationship this way, you go through this measure, you take this measure, and then if the person refutes or frustrates those measures to reconciling the relationship, he then says, treat the person as an unbeliever. That means there is a way to walk with unbelievers, you know. There's also a way to relate with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So, relationships are not all the same. And that's what I'm saying. You know, there's a tendency that if you don't listen carefully to what we have been teaching, you go overboard to want to have, you know, initiate or build, have relationships with every man. Now, I said no. In fact, I recall vividly that I mentioned that on Sunday in Genesis 1 again. Look into your Bible, Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. If you look into Genesis 1, I haven't said that man will function in his image. See, we have dwelt a whole lot on that text. And by now, I think people should be able to quote this text offhand, right? That's what happens when you go over a text over again. I think we must have read this text over 100 times in this simple study. You know, and then if you read Genesis 1, it says verse 26 to 28, man who will function in God's dominion, it says will rule. Will rule. So man is to have God's dominion. We said that. And that dominion also is expressed through relationships. How we handle influences that are pitched against God's plans and purposes in our relationships. In Genesis 2 and Genesis chapter 3, you know, Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, we saw God in chapter 3 now mixed man and put him in a garden. And I followed, as it were, a train of thought, you know, with us on Sunday when we looked at what we can pick up from the garden, man, earth, right, his function. Then we applied it to relationships. I told you that God created the earth, right? Then on the earth, we have that, you know, narrative of God making the earth. So there's the earth. And if you read from, if you read the latter books of the Bible, it shows you God's plan for the earth, right? So we now saw in the earth, there's the garden. Then we saw what the garden implied. What does the garden imply? What is the message, you know, of the garden? What is the garden message? You know, the use of the garden, the use of the narrative garden is a message. There was no garden anywhere. Are we together? I told you that. It's a message. You know, Eden, I told you, Eden used to be an historical place that men built. And, you know, they so controlled the narrative within the garden that deliberately, beasts, for example, were kept out of the garden. Then Eden also used to be historically known as a place where that was rich in minerals. You know, the waters were great, the waters were good. The kind of plants, the trees, you know, the crops that were put in Eden. So Moses uses that historical understanding of Eden to now communicate to man, you know, God's plan. So just like Eden mirrored perfection in that ancient story, he now uses that to explain, you know, God's plan, God's, you know, perfect plan. In that sense, are we together? You know, God's perfect plan. So he uses Eden to teach perfection. Perfection. So anyone who reads Moses, hallelujah, whosoever reads Moses is reading, you know, the message. So we can call Eden a plan. A plan. And like I told you some, I think about 2-3 years ago now, we're looking at the same Genesis garden. And I told you that the Moses was so definite in the words he used. For example, Moses mentioned 2 trees in the garden, right? Then he says there was a particular tree that was in the midst of the garden. Now, very carefully, if you are not a casual reader, you will discover that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which we also explained. We explained what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is. Are we together? We taught it. We explained it. We saw it critically. David spoke about it. And Solomon also taught about it. We saw it. So if you look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we saw that that tree was not in the midst of a garden. Are we there? The tree was not described to be in the midst of the garden. And we saw the word mist. That statement, mist, it wasn't just a preposition. It wasn't a mere preposition. It is in the midst of a garden. It's actually used by the writer to describe what the garden was built around. So when it says the tree in the midst of the garden, because we went, I remember that particular teaching, we went on to look at that word mist. We saw that Moses is saying that the tree characterizes the garden. The tree was characteristic of the garden. So what made the garden, you know, so described? What made the garden so explained? What made the garden Eden? What made Eden Eden? What made Eden Eden was actually the tree of life that was in the midst of the garden. So if you took away that tree, Eden would cease to be Eden. Are we together? Are we together? So the perfection of the garden, the perfection was that tree. Are we together? Alright, let me go over that again and again. We've explained that 1,000 times. Get the teachings. So, but are we here? So we see God, he makes the earth. On the earth, He puts the garden, right? In the garden, he puts who? He puts man. Then he gives man the task. Don't forget the task. Abad, right? And what? Shamar, isn't it? Alright. So he gives the man the task. He says to dress and to what? To keep the garden. And I explained the word keep to you, shamar, which means to keep your watch over something. So it's a statement of devotion. You see that word used severally in Deuteronomy. And when Moses used that word in Deuteronomy, it was used to instruct the people, the nation of Israel, as to what their duty to the law of God should be. To keep it. To keep it. Which was a statement of devotion. Don't forget that it is by doing the word of the law that Israel was going to show themselves as a nation distinct from other nations. Now, what do I mean by distinct from other nations? The whole world immersed in idol worship. So the way Israel is going to show themselves as a nation who do not worship idols, sacrifice to idols, as a nation of God, distinct from other nations, is by keeping his word. So later on Deuteronomy, you see Moses talking about which nation under heaven is likened unto Israel. Are we together? You know, that has as much wisdom, you know, that has, you know, a God like Yahweh, that has as much wisdom and counsel, even the miracles of Yahweh. So he differentiates Israel from other nations of the earth. Now, the way Israel was going to walk in that difference is by keeping the word of Yahweh. So the word of God distinguishes us from the unbelievers when we obey it. That's the distinguishing factor. The word of God separates us. Our holiness is acting on the word. That's our holiness. That's our holiness. Our holiness is living by the word of God. So that was going to be Israel's holiness. Israel's holiness will be heeding the words of Yahweh. So he uses that word, you know, in later books or later texts to teach devotion to Yahweh, the word Shamar. It was the same word that Moses then used as touching Adam's responsibility in the garden. And then you see the word abad, which means to dress. And dress there means to nurture for the sake of growth and expansion. So we saw that Adam, in doing his work, will result in the expansion of the garden. So God literally wants Eden to fill the whole earth. Are we together? He wants the whole earth to become the Eden. And that shows you the expansive nature of God's plan. That God's plan is always expansive. You see, you are not seeing correctly if all you see in God's plan is yourself. God has a global vision. And many times his instructions and directives to us is not about you. Yes, you will be blessed. You are going to be blessed. I mean, you are going to be blessed. The benefits of acting on God's word is going to come to you. But much more than that, there is a people that God seeks to reach with his plans and purposes. Hallelujah. So in dealing with our relationships, we must also learn that wisdom of an increasing capacity of God's plan. What do I mean by that? I said categorically on Sunday that as a believer, you cannot be in relationship with every man. You can be. You cannot be. I told you, God himself loves to, but God is not. God is not in relationship with all men. So, you also cannot be. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, it means that in my relationship with other people, there has to be caution. There has to be caution.
The leading of the Spirit many times is rooted in caution. At times, God still wants you to do the things you want to do. Are we together? But He wants to ensure that the element of caution is in your heart. Because when and where there is no caution, you will ruin God's plan and ruin yourself. I usually say, a man who does not know how to use brakes in a vehicle must never be allowed to drive anybody, including himself. He will ruin himself. Caution. Caution in the decisions we take. Caution in how we build and form relationships. Caution. In fact, caution in how we handle conflicts. Conflicts that are always bound to happen, or which are always bound to happen. Caution in how we handle what? Conflicts. I told us weeks ago that many times the reason why relationships are ruined beyond healing is not really what happened. It's not really what happened that ruined the relationship. It's the way you handled it. And in handling things, many times it is the words you said, the things you said when you were, you know, emotional, the things you said when you were angry, the words you used. The words you used as a parent can hurt the life of a child. The words you use. The words you use. The words you use. So, God wants us to demonstrate caution. So I said that if He then mirrors man's relationship with God, which includes man's relationship with other people, it would imply that you are not to be in relationship with everybody at the same time. And you cannot have the same kind of relationships with everybody at the same time. So, wisdom in our associations allow relationships to grow. What did I say? What did I say? I said that louder and clearly. Louder and clearly. Allow relationships to what? To grow. What you are about to tell that fellow, who is it to hear it? Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. The detail you are about to share, who is the person that the person is qualified to hear that detail? God does not share His details with everybody. That is God who can control all narratives and can't be overpowered. So you can't be stupid. Are we clear? If you are married, some things are for your spouse, not a colleague at work. If you are in a business, some things are with your business colleagues, not your wife. If you are in the ministry, some things are with your supernatural home, family, ministry team, not relatives. Again, caution calls. So, my relationship with other men must not be without caution. Tell your neighbor, say caution. Caution. Tell the fellow again, say caution. Say it loudly. You know, sometimes the reason why you must be loud enough is when the person is alone and the person wants to take a decision, your voice what? Will ring. Now, I didn't say you should be yelling at them. Say caution.
Are we together? The entire law of Moses, you know, you hear people say that, oh, we are not under the law, we are not under the law, and sometimes you try to teach something, some people say, oh, you are being legalistic. No. The entire law of Moses is rooted in one word: caution. 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 Caution in how we treat relationships. Are we together? So you are not expected to be in relationship with everybody at the same time. Is my coursemate? What else? Is my flatmate? Is my long-term friend? Such kind of dispositions have ruined God's plan with some people. So God desires to be also, but he's not, like we said. Is not. So when I don't handle relationships properly, it draws more from me. It drains me. Anytime you observe that you are being drained from a relationship, it is a sign that you are not handling that relationship well. Because God had not put that relationship around you. If it drains you spiritually, you are not handling it well. Are we together? It drains you mentally. You are not handling it well. It drains you materially. It drains you materially. That means you sat down to look at it. You've understood what it means to dream. Because again, responding to responsibility is not the same as something draining you. But if you've understood what it means to dream, I say that this is draining me. Show that there's a whole lot that needs to be put in order there. So what I will say in essence, do not give, you can't give the same room. You can't give the same privilege. You cannot give the same opportunity to everybody. Is it clear? Is it clear? You cannot. The opportunities you can extend to somebody, you can't extend that same level of opportunity to another. So you must always ask yourself, is this person qualified for this opportunity, this privilege? Is he qualified? Is he qualified? Is he qualified? So, man is made to relate. We said that, right? But he relates on God's terms. I build my relationships upon that identity. Identity that I am in God's image. And don't forget that that image is revealed in Christ Jesus. We say that in the man in him. So few. So humanity, as God has designed it, will place caution on his relationships. Allow relationships to grow. I've said that. Allow relationships to what? To grow. I've said that. Allow relationships to what? To grow. Relationships grow on two things. Relationship grows with time and through investments. Relationships grow with time and through what? Investment. Relationships grow with what? Time and through what? Investment. So I invest in my relationships. Invest in my relationships. So allow relationships to grow. Allow relationships to grow. And it goes both ways, receiving and giving. Sometimes you are not to give something, a privilege, an opportunity in a relationship until it grows into certain places. Neither are you to what?
Receive. Are we together? Are we together? Neither are we to what? To receive. Don't be a stupid person. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Tell anybody, say, don't be stupid. Yeah, don't be stupid. Are we together? Just in church, okay? Praise God. Don't be stupid. It goes both in what? Giving and what? Receive. Don't receive. Maybe when we revisit these teachings, I will share some experiences with us. Don't we see? Are we there? Don't we see? Allow relationships to grow. Some people are too eager to receive. That means you see someone who has a privilege, and then the next thing you're thinking about is how the person can give you. You met someone yesterday, and then today you're asking for a favor. You must be stupid. Yep. You met someone yesterday, and today you're asking for favor. It means you are not wise. Allow the relationship to what? To grow. Two things. The first thing is what?
Time.
The second is what?
Investment.
That means make deposits into the relationship. Are we together? A lady, someone walked up to you, says, like you. You go on a date, and after the date, he wants to take you to the room and sleep with you. Two of you are foolish. That should tell you that this person is a stupid person. You know, but I love you. I feel the way. You're having a bad feeling. Investment. Don't say investment. Investment is like you have paid your down. Are we together? Are we together? It's investment. 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 We strain relationships because we don't know how to build them. See. Let me give you this result. Don't make withdrawals where you have not made deposits. You are going to strain the relationship. Now, I'm not saying that help people, so that you can also go and place a demand later on. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you now. Make deposits. Sometimes we ruin marriages. I'm talking about relationships as structured, as formulated as marriages. Sometimes what ruin marriages is that a couple, you know, one party in the couple is trying to make withdrawals more than the deposits they make. So you must be the one person in the relationship making what? Deposits. You make deposits through sacrifice. You make deposits through honor. You make deposits through love and affection, respect, communication, right? Right? I gave you a list, right? Yes. And the rest, you make deposits through sacrifice, honor. You make deposits You focus more in relationships, you always make withdrawals. But you must focus more on what? Making what? Deposits. If the other party focuses on deposits and the other party focuses on deposits, you will not even be so conscious of what? Of the withdrawals. Is that not what happens? That's just the law of life. Are we together? You have a bank account and all you do, no deposit comes in. All you do is withdraw. After a while, you are going to hit zero. Now, if it's an account that can allow you a negative balance, if you place more demand, you start running on what? Minus. You do that after a while, you are going to crash. If you keep making, what's it called, withdrawals on your health, your bodily health, you keep making withdrawals and you don't make deposits, after a while, your health is going to fail. So it's a law of life. So in our relationships, you don't forget, you must discern what kind of relationship it is. It will tell you, it will give you the godly wisdom to know what investment you should make. Are we together? And then, as you make such investment, you are building the relationship. You must first of all discern what kind of relationship is this, or this is. What kind of relationship it is? Is it? Is it a business relationship? Is it a sibling? Is it a parent to child? Is it a business relationship? Is it spiritual? Is it church ministry? Is it work, colleague, career, academics, neighborhood? We're just neighbors. Keep it at that. We're just neighbors. Why will your neighbor start having a say in your marriage? Why? Are we together? If someone is your boss at work, why will your boss at work start having a say in your marriage? Why will a colleague at work start having a say in your marriage? Why? Except of course you build a kind of relationship with the fellow, and then maybe the fellow has gone beyond a work colleague. The person is now maybe a confidant and a friend. That means you've taken your association away from, you know, just work. You must allow relationships to build. Are we together, church? And in building my relationship, I build it around the fact that I am God's image. We're going from here to look into how to actively protect God's relationship. Okay? I just finished my thoughts. So what happens if I want to function in God's image toward another, but the person does not want to function in God's image toward me? What happens? What happens? From the last thing we just said about Eden spreading, what happens? I want to function in God's image towards you, but this fellow does not want to function in God's image towards me. What happens? What happens? Treat as the word publican. You must not be stupid. I'll use that word several in this session. Permit me. Don't be stupid. Treat as the word a publican. Including a Christian. Sure. Notice that the brother that he said, treat as a publican, was a member of the synagogue. That's why he said, let the elders, let the church go to meet you with him. So there are some Christians to treat like they are what? Not born again. Don't be stupid. There are some Christians to treat like unbelievers. Don't forget I said, when he says treat as a publican, he's not saying to hate on them. You don't hate on unbelievers. It simply means don't give him or her the privilege anymore. He could even be a church member here. No such privilege. That means no more information. No, you shut the person out. You don't hate the person. You don't hate the person. You are not bitter. You sure? You mustn't walk in unforgiveness. Are we together? But you mustn't give room for you yourself to be tempted. Don't give such room. I told you on Sunday, I told you there's a difference between trusting God and what? Tempting God. There are two different things. You know God is faithful. You know God is loving. You know God is forgiving. You know, look at The serpent came to Jesus. Yeah, the same serpent that came to Adam came to Jesus. So the serpent comes to Jesus and he says, jump from this place. He even quotes the scriptures. He said, it is written, he will give his angels charge against you. They will hold you so that you not dash your foot against the stone, against the rocks. Now, if Jesus had jumped from the pinnacle, right there, the pinnacle of the temple, if Jesus had jumped, are we together? Would Jesus, you know, would there have been supernatural preservation for him?
Yes.
Are we together? But hey, Jesus would not have jumped out of trusting God. Now, the entirety of the Christian life is described as trusting God. Trusting God. I told you that, the holiness. Trusting God is your entire life. So, there's a difference between him jumping out of trust. Are we together? And him jumping because he just wants to test God. No, we are not told to tempt God. So, he responded to Satan. He says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy what? Thy God. But only him thou shalt what? Serve. That means the Christian life is the worship of God. Not tempting God, not testing God, but serving the Lord. Do you get it? Do you get it? So if you know that something is wrong, you know something is wrong, you know God is not leading you to do this, then you go ahead to do the same, knowing that he will keep you. You're tempting him. You're tempting him. So we don't tempt God in our relationships. So it means also, don't get involved in relationships with people who will tempt you. Now when I say those who will tempt you, I'm not even talking about those who will tell you to come and commit sin with them. That's not even what I'm talking about, even though that includes it. But that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people, for example, someone knows that you are going to act on the word. He knows that you will have to forgive him or forgive her. Yet he goes all the way to do what will hurt you, knowing fully well that you are instructed to forgive. Then you shut the person out. Is that clear? It's just the best enough. It's just the best enough. No association. No relationship. So, what will I do? How will I handle it if this person was just a friend? Or if this person was just, you know, someone on the street? How will I handle it if this person was just, you know, a classmate? If this person was just a colleague at work, how will I handle it? Then you handle it that way. That means, if a colleague can ask you for help, are we together? Ask for help. Or the colleague can ask for a resource, and you are disposed to grant it to the person also, even though the person had what? Has what? Has hurt you. Are we together? Even though the person has not proven reasonable, still grant the person the what? The favor. So, is that going to do with hating the person? Is it clear? But if, as a colleague at work, you don't have the opportunity, the privilege of enjoying this or that, then it is not what? It's not available. Do you get it? It is not what? Available. If as a classmate can still ask me to do this, and I have the opportunity to do it, then that same person, do it. But hey, if it is not a privilege or an opportunity that the classmate can enjoy, then it is not what? Available. It's not available. And sometimes even in church. Are we together? Are we together in church? So say, what then is the place of forgiveness? Forgiveness does not absolve accountability. You can forgive someone, but the person has to be accountable. You have to show that you deserve this opportunity going forward. That's how you build relationships. Do you get it? Do you get it? Sometimes even in church. I'm sorry to say. Or sometimes even in church. You got to ask yourself. If a random person in church walks up to me and asks for this, and I'm opportune to do it, will I do it? All right, I'll do it. Okay, so come, take it. But not a random person in church can enjoy this privilege. And the fellow who used to enjoy the privilege, then you tell the person, I'm sorry, it's no more available. Yeah. I'm not angry at you. It's just not available. I'm sorry. Are we together? But now I'm focused much more on the world, the people outside. So you want to function in God's image, and here is an individual who doesn't want to function in God's image towards you. No relationship or no such deep what association. Is it clear? Look at what happened. When Adam refused to function in God's image, what happened to him? Out of the garden. Are we together? Refused to function in God's image. Out of what? Out of the garden. Did you get it? Out of the garden. So, ladies and men alike, you must have a decisive control on your relationships, on your associations. I told you, it starts from recognizing who is this. You must ask the question, who is this? You must ask the question. I told you, in the garden, God didn't just say, hey, this is Eden, alright, everything will be fine. No. He made the animals to come around, and Adam interacted with them, and gave what? Identity to all of them. And I told you that it wasn't about the animals. That was Moses talking about how that God had made Adam to understand the place of supernatural beings. Because when you read the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the fowls of the whatever, the beasts of the ground, in Genesis 1:26, it is a statement concerning supernatural beings, not animals. Are we together? The writers of the epistle will explore the same text, talking about man having, Jesus having dominion over what? The things what? In heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. Are we together? Under the earth refers to hell, Hades, the place of the dead. And he's talking about hellfire, he's talking about a sphere of influence under the control of Satan. Because under the earth is also here with us. He's not referring to under the earth where there is gold. Are we together? That statement under the earth is right at the same place where we are. That statement in the heaven is right at the place where we are. Is it clear? So he's not talking about geographic locations. He's talking about spiritual realities. So the Genesis 1:26 text, let him have dominion over. He's talking about spiritual, what's it called? Influence. It's not natural wide. Moses was not a botanist or a zoologist. He was a teacher of God's word. He will use the natural to explain the supernatural. Do you get what I'm saying? Out of what? Of the garden. Did God still care about Adam? Yes. You will see how he goes after, what's his name now? Cain. Cain had killed his brother. Yet you see how God had conversation with Cain. God was talking to Cain, and Cain was still responding very stupidly. I mean, the God of the OS comes to you, and says, where is your brother? I say, am I my brother's keeper? It shows you the humility of God, but it also shows you the decisiveness of God. So his compassion and his mercy does not absorb from what? His justice. You get it? As a Christian, you must possess both. You have to possess both. I was telling someone some days ago, I said, why do you find it difficult to reconcile, explaining God's character into the man? When he said, but God cannot kill, or God does not kill. I said, do you mean to say God does not do evil, or God does not kill? And the fellow was like, ah. And, you know, the person was more shocked because that statement was coming from me. And then, are you saying God cannot kill or God cannot do evil? So I haven't said that. I haven't said something like, God does not kill, God cannot kill. He now listened again and said, okay, I think what I meant to say is God cannot do evil. I said, simple. So, who told you that to kill is evil? Who told you? Are we together? Are we together? Who told you that to kill is evil? Definitely, if you are judging, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. If you use 2025 English to judge a material that was written in a world of 6,000 years old, you will be unjust. Are we clear? Are we clear? You are going to be what? You are going to be unjust. You are going to be an illiterate self. A world that is 6,000 years old, then use 2025 English to judge what is moral in that world. So you have to calm down. You have to go into the scriptures and from the scriptures determine what is evil. In the scriptures. Something can be called good in the days of Moses, but today it is what? Evil. Are we together? And there are some things that the laws of your land today can call evil. But because of the justice systems of that day, are we together? And it was not a democratic setting. They didn't elect their kings. They didn't elect their kings. In that world, might not be deemed as what? Evil. I know that raises some questions in your mind. It is valid. Don't worry. We'll answer it. I'm here for you. Are we together? By now, there's something. I said, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. I'm going to find it very challenging. Pay attention to this. I'm going to find it challenging. And I'm going to find it very challenging if you say to me that you are presiding over a nation. Are we together? Or let me put it this way. I'll find it challenging if I have a president of a country who says that because he is loving, he can't do anything against terrorism. I will find it challenging to believe that you should actually be the president. And that statement is not about presidency. Do you get what I'm saying? I'll find it challenging to say that this is the God of the UF and he does nothing about evil. To do nothing concerning evil is evil itself. Are we together? Do you know what I'm saying? So, God in his love puts evil away. So he can keep the space what? Clean and safe. The process of putting evil away, would you call that evil? Would you call that evil? No. That is good. And I've explained good to you in the scriptures. It means what is what? Proper. Are we together? It means what is what? That's what is fitting. That's good. What is fitting. So you unrepentantly, devotedly, commit yourself to the activity of demons unrepentantly. After a while, you will meet your end. Is God happy at the destruction of such a sinner? No. He seeks to save. So he doesn't conflict his character. That's what I'm saying, that the justice nature of God, does not contradict his what? His character of endless love and compassion. It doesn't. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So, why did I mention all that? In our relationships, we mustn't be stupid. We mustn't be stupid in our associations. So, I put that here as a question. I said, I want to function. Here I am. I want to function as God's image towards him or her. But he does not want to function as God's image towards me. What do I do? And I put the answer there. No such relationship. No such association. In Matthew 18:16-17, when he says to treat as a publican, it means that two things. You will walk in love, right? Right? But secondly, you will not extend certain privileges to him or her. But you will not hate him. The Christian is not permitted to hate anyone. Not even bandits. Did you get that? You are not permitted. The Christian is not permitted to hate what? Anyone. Not even Boko Haram. You are not permitted of God to hate. The law of the land should do justice to every insecurity. But the Christian in his heart, with the Spirit of God, is not allowed to take a position of hatred and wrath at anyone. Because ultimately, everybody is God's object of love and mercy. Everybody is the target of salvation. Did you get it? The difference between you and that bandit is the mercy of God. The event is in you and the wizard is the mercy of God that you have received. Are we together? Make sure you don't hear what I didn't say here tonight. So, I will not extend privileges. So, I started out saying that relationships are a function of privileges. You cannot extend the same privileges to everybody. You cannot. No conversations. For some, it could be no conversations beyond 9 p.m. No conversations beyond 9 p.m. Definitely. Are we together? Conversations beyond 9 p.m. No conversations, you know, at odd hours. Such conversation. Did you get it? Did you get it? No sparing of resources beyond what is within your possibility. So it doesn't mean to hate. Treat as a publican doesn't mean to hate. Treat as a publican doesn't mean to revenge. Treat as a publican simply means walk in love. But don't extend what? Undue what? Privileges. Praise God forevermore. So, part of my Christian living is knowing how to relate in a godly way. Don't be weak in your associations because you are trying to build relationships with people. Don't be. Don't be. Are we together? Functioning as God's image is that I will extend God's Eden to people. I extend God's Eden to watch over the garden, to dress and to keep. So, can we say at this point that my relationship with other people is part of my devotion to God? Can we say that at this point? Yes. My relationship with other people is part of my what? My devotion to God. Look at it. He says that
There are those at the right, there are those at the left. And then, you know, he says to those at the left, he says, oh, that when I was naked, right, he says, you did not clothe me. I was in prison, you did not visit me. When I needed food, he says, you did not, you know, care for my needs. Then he said, they will say unto me, he says, when were you? Are we together? When were you? In other words, if we had seen Jesus, and we knew this Jesus, and he didn't have shit, I'd have taken you to the boutique and bought for you now. You know, and then if we had seen Jesus ill, they would have taken him to the hospital. Are we together? You know, and then Jesus says that, well, whatever you do to the least of us, of my brethren, are we together? He says, you have done it unto me. So, the way I treat people, and more especially, the way I treat church, and church is a people, the way I treat the saints of God is part of my devotion to God. My devotion to God is explained in the way I treat the people of God. Is that understood? So, look at this. I have a duty. I'll take that switch here and I'll continue on Sunday. I have that duty to watch over the garden. Now look at this. Watching over the garden, does it include keeping rabbinous beast away? That was why I told you that we were shocked when, what's her name? Eve was now liaising with what? With the serpent. The instruction says, have dominion. You are liaising. So you got into trouble. Did you get it? You are exchanging ideology with something we say is what? Dominate. Instruction says, have dominion. The moment an instruction comes and says, have dominion, subdue, it means there are contrary forces. Now, it didn't say the God, it says the earth. So, it shows you that in the world around, there are forces to do what? To dominate over. It's common sense now. If I send you somewhere, and as you're going, I say, yeah, come, take this. And I give you 3,000 naira notes. It will show you that you might need transport. Did you get it? So God sends us on the mission in the world and he gave us the spirit. That means the spirit is the what? Is what we will use to reach the world. So when you are going and you are giving instructions, that means by the instruction you will prevail. So instructions are wisdom, insight. So it says to have dominion. Subdue means there are forces, influences. That means God expects you to caution. Everybody is not the same. He expects you to have caution. Have some caution. Everyone is not what? The same. Everybody is not the same. Everybody in your workplace are not the same. Everybody in your school is not the same. Everyone in church sometimes is not the same. Are we together? Everyone are in the same. Are you with me? Caution. Walk in wisdom. Say your neighbor, say walk in wisdom. So he says, have dominion. And then look at this. She was found liasing. You are now telling the person, look at this. The person you met at workplace, you are now discussing your consecration with the person. And actually, God said that we should not eat of this particular fruit. Why? Are you this Christian? Why? Why are you explaining? See, if
if the person is not in the ministry, it doesn't even have to be your church, but the person is not in the ministry and does not show a deep commitment to the Lord, there are some conversations you can't have. And if you are not careful, what you are doing is that you are casting your peers before what? Before the swine. You are taking your jewelry and trying to give it to pig, to wear it. The Bible says he will tear it and jump on you. And get you as dirty. Why are you discussing your consecration with somebody who does not win souls? Why? Say to your neighbor, say why? Who is the fellow? Why are you having that conversation with the person? Who is the fellow? Why are you discussing marital relationships, your home, issues between you and your spouse? You discuss it with somebody who has not been stably married. Why? Is one Auntie Adubo. Are you okay? You're about to say that if someone wants to sew for you, what do? You look at the person's what? Neck first. And see what the person is wearing. Someone who does not show a form of control over his associations. Your best friend as a man is somebody that has 4 baby mamas. Your very close friend. You see, he gives me relationship advice. Who is his daughter? Marry this, born to it. And that's the person that is your mentor. The person has not stayed a job for 4 or 5 years. He has not had a stable engagement. And you want to listen to the person on how to do well materially. Why? It's your common sense. There are some things that if there's nobody to seek advice from, you do what? You keep the issue until God brings someone your way that you can submit the issue to. Are we together? So look at that. He says to subdue. So you can't be. So if you now say if was now explained. Now explaining to the disciples,
I will not have the wrong conversations.
In our church, our service is actually, you know, we have church activities almost every day. Why do you have to say that? Why is your mouth so watery? Are you having a oral diarrhea or what do you call it now? Why? What concerns the fellow? Deep conversations happens between likes. In our church, we have to be very materially committed, you know. And then you are saying that to somebody who does not even have any commitment to any church. Like someone said in some speech the other time, he said that all of this Christianity thing, that they are just manipulating people. How can you say that people should work all day, all month, and then bring a particular percentage to the church? So I took on the guy. When you work and earn your money and you go to the bar, does anybody complain? When you spend your money at the bar, does anybody complain? No. You take your money, you carry girls, you pay, you give them stipends, you give them whatever, you pay them off, girls. You carry girls, you carry all sorts of this, you drink beer, you do all that. There's nobody that answers. So what concerns you about the way a Christian uses their resources? So you that use your resources that way, you are not being manipulated. But the person that is so committed to God's work on the earth and commits a portion of his income to pushing God's plans and visions on the earth is manipulated. No, you are just possessed. And what gives you the audacity? What gives you the audacity to say to that fellow that he is wrong? As though you are doing what is right. It's actually a mental condition. Yeah. That is a mental condition. Conversation. Are we together? Who is this fellow? You must always find out who is he? Who is she?
So resolve the identity issue on your side. Resolve the identity issue on the other person's side and extend privileges as necessary. I'll begin to close here. Are we together?
So the garden, don't forget, is the mirror of God's presence, God's temple. I have a duty to watch over my relationships. I have a duty to watch over my relationships. Relationships online, offline, long-term relationships. Oh, it was my, what do you call, childhood friend in Yoruba. This is what you call childhood friend. Are we together? Ah, he's my childhood friend. So, your childhood friend comes around after some 10 years, after 15 years of living in two different worlds, the childhood friend comes around. And then suddenly, has access to everything happening in your life. You are a careless person. God's plan prospers in the hands of people who are cautious. So I'm not careless. I'm not careless in my relationships. Is it clear, church? Carelessness could be through wrong conversations. I watch out for wrong conversations. Don't start the conversation. And let the person know that you will not have that conversation with what? With the person. Is it clear? Don't start the conversation. A married woman, someone calls you at 11. I just want to check on you. Ah. You just want to check on me. At 11 o'clock. A colleague at work. At 10 o'clock. Are angels playing sword game in your brain? Are we together? 9 o'clock. There's a work emergency, okay. There's work email. Or you use your say, I saw your call and I picked. Okay, how are you doing? Have you eaten? Ah. Are we together? Have you eaten? I just want to check on you. You were just on my mind. Ah. Married woman. When it's just that Jackie Chan and Jet Li. In your spinal cord. Are we together? No such conversation. You protect your associations. Didn't go with the brothers. Or men. Do you get it? Caution. Wisdom. The beauty, the strength of a young man is counsel. Are we together? And the beauty of women is their wisdom. And wisdom says more no's than yes. Wisdom. Wisdom. No. No. You can't have the conversation. Who are you to get my number? We can't have the conversation. We can't have the conversation. What conversation do we want to be having? What conversation? What conversation? Are we together? Are we together? So I'm not careless. I'm not careless. Wrong conversations. Wrong conversations. And like I said, sometimes, I'm closing soon. Sometimes, you have had a legal ground of an opportunity or a privilege with somebody, but the person no more has it. The moment the person no more has that opportunity, no more has that rule, stop extending the privilege. Are we clear? Are we clear? Some extended the privilege. He said, he's my ex. She's my ex. And you're talking like that? Are you deaf? How careless are you if your ex can talk to you that way? And say, we're dating and then we break up. So, is that person still in courtship with you? No. Are you still in a mutual agreement to get married? No. So, why would the person talk to you that way? Then, person just chats you up and then ask for pictures. And say, I didn't like another this one. Can you send me another? Send another one that you are not with. Are you okay? No, two of you are not fine. You're having mental issues. The guys are like, these are just apply to ladies. Men too. And men are usually the ones that start it. Yes. Men are the ones. So men are idiots. But it takes two to what? All right. You can't try to rubbish around unless you find other people to try and rubbish you. I'm working with you. Are we together? Are we together? Even in organizations, a staff that used to work with you or for you leaves the organization. Your boss need not tell you. If you don't know how to handle the relationship with a former colleague at work, your HR will deal with you. If you work in a corporate organization, you know what I'm talking about. You will have yourself to blame. That's a worldly organization. It then must be protected. Are we together, church? And God ain't going to protect it. He says man should. Never tell God to do what he has told you to do. And never try to do for God what he has said he will do. Are we learning something tonight? Are we learning something tonight? That's it. Are we learning something tonight? That's it. Conversations. Who is the fellow? There's nothing wrong in asking, who is the fellow? A leader in church can ask you. Your leader can ask you, who is the fellow? Who is the person? Who is the person? Why this amount of time in the conversation? Why this depth of insight, information in the conversation? Why? Why inform a colleague at work of the itinerary of your husband or wife? Why? You want to invite them over. Why? Why? Christians can be stupid sometimes. Why? Why? Why?
Caution. Someone say caution.
Suggestions. Why should the person suggest to you? Who is the person for the person to be suggesting to you? Who is he? Who are you to be telling me how to handle church affairs? Like I told someone, I said, I don't take counsel from people like you. You don't pastor a church. You don't win souls. Then you want to tell me how church should be run. Go sit down. I have people I take counsel from, and they don't look like you. I don't take counsel from you. I don't take counsel from you. Someone say natural relationships can also inform us or give us insight about ministry. And he says, show me an example. Then he goes to Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. He said, no. Jethro was a priest of God. He was a pastor. And read it well. Jethro was a priest. He wasn't a father-in-law. Moses didn't take that counsel from Jethro as a counsel from a father-in-law. He took it. See, he says that if you give the honor of a prophet to the prophet, you will have the reward of what? Of a prophet. That means the blessing that that counsel should provide in your life, we will see it. He's not saying that when you honor a prophet, you are going to have money. He says the blessing of the prophet will stay with you. So the gift of God that works with the prophet will be manifested with you. That's what he says. And if you treat him like a brother, you might still benefit from what he said, but it will be cut short because you won't give room in your heart to it. So something that should control your entire life, you'll just see it as it's just something for this area of my life, and it will only benefit you there. Who is he to tell me this? Who is she to tell me this? Who is she? Why will your wife come say that let's cut it into two and keep the half and take the rest to pastor and say this is all? Why? Who is he to tell me that? If you're my wife or you're my husband, why should you do that? I'm talking about Ananias and Sapphira. Why? Glory to God. You must find out who is he, who is she. Is it clear? And some of you, some people are worse. They just go on blogs, Facebook, TikTok, live. You go to Gigi School of Understanding. Is that what they call it? Eh? Is that what they call it? Gigi School. They are taking notes. If you don't know, God bless you. They are taking notes. You are stupid. The word of God, is it clear? The word of God, is it clear? The word of God, is it clear? Let me close here. So look at this. Watch out for illegal authorities. Ask the question, who are you? I didn't say ask the person, who are you? Say, I am chosen. Who are you? No, not that. Ask the question in your mind. Who is this? Let the identity be clear. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Never be in confusion. So watch out for illegal authority. Someone who seeks to overuse their boundaries. Illegal authority. Who are you to say this? Play for me. Who are you to instruct this or that? Who is this person? Who is this what? Who is this person? Who is this person? Who is this person? As I told you of a fellow who was oversharing with a colleague, talking to the pastor. Now say, you know, my colleague now said this. He said, your husband, your colleague at work said this about your husband. He didn't know so much about your family. He said, I just talk to her sometimes. I made this comment about your husband. Now the husband was wrong. The husband was wrong, but the pastor now said, wait, your husband is wrong, but even your own approach to relationships, you yourself, you are wrong. You keep home things. Is it clear? You keep bed matters what? Bed. Is it clear? What has ruined relationships sometimes is that the couple allows somebody else to come in. So it is not the third person that ruined the relationship. It is the loose gap between the couple. Yeah. Keep bed matters. Home matters. Family issues what? Family issues. You can talk to your pastor. There are some things you talk to parents about. Yeah. But you must know what? There are some other things you resolve. Is it clear? You resolve it. And then what some couples do sometimes is the challenge between two spouses. Two people. There's a challenge. Maybe the man is the one causing issue. You now report to the man's parents. All I hear is that you report to the parents about their harm. What are you expecting to hear? Or you now report the man to your own parents. What are you expecting to hear? Know who to go to. So who should hear this? Why should this conversation go to this person? Couple must have that one person that is for me matters to. For whatever reason best known to them, they submit matters to them. That is, whatsoever this person says is what we are going to do. And that agreement has to be there before marriage. It has to be there. And you also must have somebody that you submit virtually everything to. Virtually everything. That means it's possible that I get a counsel from a conflict with this, I get a counsel from this, and it's conflicting with this. But is there somebody that I can listen to and will give me a counsel that will bind everything what together? You see, sometimes that's where the office of a pastor comes, the overseer. Because it's called an overseer because it doesn't oversee one part of your life. It sees everything. It doesn't mean it's only your pastor you talk to. No. You can talk to colleagues. You're having issues with something, walking through a ladder, walking up a ladder at work. If you have a close conversation with somebody, if you have a close relationship with someone at work, just, how did you do this when you were in this place? I'm having issues. How do I undo this person? It's fine. You have the conversation. Medical, whatever. You have medical conversations with your colleagues. You have a patient. You have a patient. You don't talk to pastor that I have a patient. Pastor is not a doctor. You talk to a colleague. You're having money issues and you have a business mentor. You talk to your business mentor. Are we there? A line of your business is failing and you have a mentor that does the same thing. Talk to the person. I'm having this challenge. I don't know if you had a challenge before. How did you resolve it? When you say, I remember 1990. Don't do it that way. Do it then. That's fine. But there must be one person that can bind everything together. That office of binding everything together is not actually a man's office. It is the Lord's office. But because he walks through a shepherd, it now becomes the office of what? That man. But it is that man because it is the Lord's office. I hope you get it.
So we'll build on this on Sunday. Again, corrections. The people you take corrections from. Why should this person correct me on this area? I'm not saying reject corrections. But you must know. You must know. So recognize what conversation should hold with whom. That's what I came to tell you tonight. Have dominion and subdue means no to certain conversations. No to certain conversations. Some of them you just tell them, can we talk about this when I'm less busy? You know you are not going to be less busy in 10 years. If they know. Some people just say, well, I don't know what to say about this conversation, but I don't know, but can we just talk about it later? You know later is 5 years time. If they know. Some just say point blank, I'm not comfortable with this conversation yet. Can we talk about it later? You must know. Illegal authorities. No undue access. Is it clear, church? Is it clear? So watch out for fruits of the person you want to confide in. Watch out for the fruit in the life of a person you want to follow his or her counsel. Do you have similar objectives in that area? Do you have similar objectives? Watch out for the fruit. I'm not saying that the person who counsel you on marriage must be married. But I'm saying that you have similar objectives. Does the person have the same control on relationships? Did you see that? I'm not saying that the person who will counsel you over your millions must also have millions. I'm saying, does the person have similar objectives? So don't disqualify people because of physical parameters. You must qualify people based on their wisdom. Wisdom is justified in its fruits. Look out for fruits. The moment what the person has conflicts with what you want to achieve, then you might have to check it again. Relationships. A prostitute can't give you advice on marriage. No, it can't. You can't have a stable home that way. Is it clear? You'll just be like somebody who lost a game and now says, I got the advice of a madman. How can I get an advice from a madman and win the game? You get it? Do you get it? Who is in your mind? Praise God. So, you can't pick advice from madman and win the game. Is it clear? I guard my relationships. I guard my relationship with God. Are we together? 2026. I guard my supernatural relationships. I keep my relationships healthy. Don't forget, no toxicity. Don't forget to. No toxicity. Sometimes the issue sometimes is not others, it's you. Sometimes you are the issue. Sometimes you are the issue. Sometimes you are the issue. Is it clear? You know, I had a story of a lady like that. It was a pastor. I shared that. And I just, a lady like that, that got into a relationship, ended the relationship, marital relationship, ended it. The first one, the second one, no, the first marriage, got married, not in relationship, got married, end the marriage, divorce. The second one, got married, end the marriage, divorce. The third one, got married, end the marriage, third one. Now that before the fourth one, I sat down and allowed thought through. And I was, as I was thinking, reflecting on all the relationships, now I discovered that, okay, let me think about the first marriage. So as I was thinking about the first marriage, something now picked out to think about that man. So when he looked into that, when he thought about the man he got married, he said, so a month after I divorced, the man got married. After 4 or 5 years, the man is still married. I think after about 6 or 7 years, the man is still married today. The second one has married. That one has stayed married also. And I, the fourth, he just said, I'm the problem. Sometimes you are the problem. Sometimes you are the challenge. Sometimes you are the challenge. Sometimes you are the challenge. Are we together? Sometimes you are the challenge. If you enter one room and think something smells, you enter another room, something smells. You come out of that room, enter another one, and something smells. You tell you that you are the one. You get the gist? Oh, you don't get it. Okay, you are laughing because you got it. All right, thank you. So you tell you that you are the one. Like one lady then, many years ago, I think that was around, that was even before my other level. That was around 2010, child.
2010-2011. I got into 2011 and 2011. So they all before 2011 and 20. In the place where I used to live, there is one sister like that that we used to call her. It was the elder one. I was not old enough, so it was the elder uncle that used to call her Kiloru. That's what they call her. It was, you know, by I was very young then, I was very short, so people just used to call her Kiloru because every time she walks about, she just like. That's the way she walks everywhere. I've told you before. Everywhere. If she's walking on the street, there's the way she walks. I can remember that one. She doesn't. She does like, or she will carry one, what's it called? A headgear. Or a scarf. She'll just need to cover her mouth. As she's walking past the place where they are playing football. So after a while, she just say, her name is Kilonu. You are the problem. Everything can be smelly. Is it clear? Is it clear? This person, he jits me. That one too. He jits me. That one too. You are jitting yourself. Or you are the first person that has jitted yourself. Remarry yourself and be committed to yourself and your growth. It will fix things. Are we together? So sometimes you just are the issue. But look at this. No stupidity. Is he healthy? Ask the question. Does he allow me to function in God's image? Ask the question. Are we together? Does it build my relationship with others? Ask the question. Sometimes they are personal habits, but that does not build your relationship with others. Look out for it and kill it. Kill the habit. Habit of staying on your phone. You are in a room of 5-10 people, you're on your phone. Why? Why? Technology is a blessing, but sometimes it's. I mean, you're on your phone. A room of 5. Some people are even worse. Someone is in your in the room with you. You want to talk to the person? Just drop a Snapchat. In the same space. I know a husband and wife that we have to resolve, and that's what they do. The man is sitting at the side of the bed. You might sit at that side of the bed. They will just turn like this. Just drop. What are we? How was your day? Put the phone away. If it's around a particular time of the day, shut it down. Offline. D&D. Are we together? Are we together? D&D. And then just. I know there's something flying around today about D&D that people are just falling. Do your thing. Are we together? So watch out for those habits that also ruin your relationship with you. Somebody did something that you don't like. You now put it on your status. I win. You win what? You are losing. You are losing the relationship. You are now. That's dirty. If you are a man that you claim to be with your chest. Sit the person down and have the conversation. You did this, you did this. You know that. Someone would even put song there. Yeah, but life is evil. Is it a wrong thing to trust? Don't be a coward. Have the conversation. Is it clear? Is it clear? Have the conversation. Build a relationship. Restore it. Restore it. Challenge. Restore it. Is it clear, church? So does it build my relationship? Ask the question about decisions. Does it build my relationship? Does it build my relationship with God? Does it build my relationship with other people? With the people God has put in my life? We'll get into this next week or Sunday on how to protect these relationships. So, the conversation, the association. Does this conversation build relationship? That's it. This conversation I'm having. Does it build my relationship with that person? Spouse. Yeah, talking about spouse again. That conversation with a colleague, does it build your relationship in your own? Does it? If it doesn't, don't have it. But what's the but? Fix the issue. Fix the issue. Fix the issue. Fix the issue that is causing you to find more abhorrent in a stranger, and it could be the same gender, it could be opposite gender. Fix the issue. Fix your home. Fix your bed. Fix it. It's declared. It's declared. Fix it. Except that other conversation. We what? We'll fix it. The same with friendships. Fix it. Fix it. Be careful of friendship that build because you are not in talking terms with your friend. That new friendship will ruin you. Because the first thing that will happen is that new friendship will worsen your friendship with your own friends. When that old friendship is now ruined, two of you will now turn against each other. Alright. So, be watchful. See, I'm watchful. So, look at this. Conversations, one. I'll close here. Associations, two. Events, three. Decisions, four. Actions and reactions, five. Style. Your style of doing something. Your style. Your method. Does it build relationships? Are we together? Your method. Does it build relationships? Don't say that's who I am. You can be stupid. Change. Is that clear? Don't say that's who I am. Not like who you are. Amen. Nothing like who you are. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, a fool's way is always right in his own eyes. So don't say that's who I am. You can be someone when you are a fool. Change. Is it clear? Don't say that's who I am. Don't despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says, a fool despises wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 15, 5. Don't despise instruction. A fool despises instructions. So as we open up a new year, we trust God that this year, more than ever before, we are going to, through the help of God's Spirit, build stronger relationships. Are we together? And these strong relationships will not be limited to a part of our lives. It will be all around. So that we can give room to what God is doing across all the spaces of our lives. God has a blessing to come into your life, and the blessing is not going to come from church. It's going to come from your workplace. God has some things to do in your life, and that blessing is going to come from, you know, a family, your spouse, if you're married. God has things to do in your life that is only going to enter into the sphere of your life from even your siblings. Are we together? Even your siblings. Some is going to happen in church. With church people, I mean church members, you know, like you. So God just has relationships around us everywhere. So building healthy relationships must not be secluded to an area. Must be all around. We must constantly pray. We'll talk about on Sunday concerning our relationships. But beyond prayer, which is actually what I'll talk about on Sunday, we must also ensure that the basic activities through which relationship is solidified, protected, kept, nurtured, is also being observed by you and I. I want to bless you tonight. We can just rise up in thanksgiving as we preach the Lord. Just give Him thanks again for relationships. Go ahead. Just raise your voice, pop your heart, give Him thanks again. Lord, we thank you for 2025. I told you December. Having moments of thanksgiving. We're grateful. Thank you for every association this year. Relationships that brought you job contracts, money. Relationships that brought other relationships that brought other relationships. There's nothing successful you are doing right now that is actually not attached to associations and relationships. Give Him praise for those relationships as you open up for more. Much more to enter.